We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Fantastic. You ready for the word? We got to fly today. Are you ready? Not too sure you are. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Amen. I'm excited about this message. I've got to tell you, this is called Signing Day, and it's going to be a powerful moment at the end. You're going to see the power of your decision. Not everybody always likes all the decisions we make. How many know that's true? But we got to make sure we're here to serve Him and please Him. Can you pray with me? Father, as we come around your word today, I pray that your people here at Wave Church, under the sound of my voice, that Lord, it would not be my voice, but you would speak. That Lord, today we'd lean into all that you have for us. We'd lean into advancing your kingdom. Lord, today I thank you in the name of Jesus for your word that will speak to us and motivate us, engage us in a new and a living way. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, guys. You guys are always fantastic. What a great job. So today is signing day. And I got a question for you. Whose side are you on? You know, sometimes we can get the us and them mentality, can't we? There's us and there's them. Matter of fact, in a company, I know what that's like. I've heard it said, you know, I remember even at a church organization back in Australia, there was probably about 200 employees in the church at the time. Nowadays, there's probably thousands of employees across Hillsong, but back then there was probably 200 employees. And sometimes you get these little pockets of people who kind of talk like, well, there's us and there's them. Do you know what I mean? There's, you know, there was this third floor mentality. On the third floor was the accounting office and the executive office, and maybe on the first floor it was kind of all the college staff, and the second floor it was all the administration, organization, and pastoral team. And if you're not careful, sometimes you can get into the us and them, you know, the powers that be, and you can actually bring politics and division in any organization, can't you? By having this us and them mentality. Let me show you somebody who didn't have an us and them. His name's Moses. Exodus 32 and verse 26. When Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. I want you to notice what Moses didn't say. He didn't say, if you're on my side, come to me. Moses did not have a messianic complex. Moses wasn't saying, hey, if you're on my side and who I am and what I bring and what I represent, then you come to me. No, no. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Which automatically identifies Moses is there representing as God's leader, the Lord's team. And if you're on this team, you come and join me, but you're not joining me. You're just identifying yourself as being on the Lord's side. And so the Bible says here that the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. Of course, as we read on in this great account, you'll know that Moses then told the people of the Levites, you go and wipe them out. Matter of fact, the Bible actually says that God opened the ground and swallowed them. And they disappeared, never to be found or seen from ever again. I love the fact that sometimes if we're not careful, we can think about, it's like I have a personality conflict with a leader. But in actual fact, here Moses, people say, well, I have an issue with you, Moses. Who died and left you in charge? But clearly the Lord put Moses in charge. Aaron and Miriam tried that. Didn't go down too well for them. Amen. And none of that, Aaron later on, the Bible says when Moses was gone and the people, he was up in the mountain with the Lord, that they all turned to Aaron and said to Aaron, would you make some golden calf and would you make a golden image, a God that we can worship, because the God that Moses represents, we don't know where Moses is. And so here's a moment where Moses is coming down out of the mountain and Joshua is just a man of war. That's all he's ever known. He's a fighter. There's nothing more powerful than having a man of war at a time of war. There's nothing more frustrating than having a man of war being your leader when it's a peacetime. Just look at some of the world history events and you'll know what I'm talking about. And no doubt, in my opinion, General Patton was one of those guys. MacArthur, one of those guys. He was like MacArthur more so. He was just a man of war. And here's Moses coming down from the mountain. And Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, there's a sound in the camp. And Joshua pulls out his sword because all he's ever known is fight. And he says, it's the sound of war. Isn't it amazing how we interpret things with our filter? And Moses, being a mature leader, says, no, it's not the sound of war. It's the sound of this sin in the camp. So here is Moses saying, who's on the Lord's side? And Joshua would have been there in this account. Now let's read Joshua 5, because here's Joshua. He's having a moment. And it says here, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. So Joshua's seeing a man with a sword drawn. He's going, right, I need to fight you. Who are you? And Joshua said, he went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Notice the difference between Moses, the mature leader, and Joshua, the fighter. Here, right, I'm ready to fight. Are you for me? You for us? Are you for the enemies? And I want you to notice that Joshua walked straight up to the man. He saw the man had a sword drawn. He was ready to fight. And I love the answer. Look at this now. Watch. I love this. It says, he says, are you for us or for enemies? Neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. As commander of the army of the Lord. This is the captain of the hosts of the Lord's army. I don't know how to describe that to you. This is the most powerful angel in heaven. And Joshua has the wherewithal, the guts, to walk up to the captain of the hosts of the Lord's army. Are you for me? Or are you for my enemy? And the angel answers, neither. See, we make it at us and them. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? How many are on the Lord's side? I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can turn God into our genie. And we can just rub our lamp when we need him. And we pray prayers. And you think about, he is Lord. He's the King. We yield our lives to him. But sometimes I think the way we pray, you got to ask the question, who's the Lord of who? And sometimes our prayers is more like turning God into our servant and trying to get God on our side rather than us saying, we're on the Lord's side. And here's Joshua. Are you for me or against me? Are you with us or are you for the enemy? And the angel says, neither. But as the captain of the Lord of hosts. And I love what Joshua does. Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord have for your servant? I love that thought, because let me tell you something. There is a sense where there's no neutrality with God. God says, you don't have the luxury of being cold. Rather, he says, I'd rather you're hot or cold, but being lukewarm. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said, you're for me or you're against me. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not worthy to be my disciple. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it. Another way of putting it is like this. One time a man said, Lord, I'll come follow you. And there was an invitation for this man to come follow him that was given by the Lord. And this man's response was, Lord, I will, but first... Next Sunday, I'm going to preach a message to all our campuses. And I know I'm talking to Seaboard this morning. I think we need to make sure we really welcome them this morning. Can we welcome our Seaboard Road campus? Love you guys. Think you're amazing. I was down there in the 8:30 service. But, you know, think about just, you know, what this is. He goes, but first, and I'm preaching on that next Sunday. You don't want to miss it. But first, it's a great story out of the Old Testament where this little widow woman is about to die, and a prophet comes and says, could you please give me something? And she goes, I got nothing left. And he goes, I'm about to prepare my last meal for my son-in-law, and we're dead. He says, yeah, do that, but first bake me a cake. And in your moment of desperation, is God still first? And here is this guy saying, hey, Lord, I'll follow you, but first... My father's not dead. He's old. He's well into his, you know, twilight years. And I'll follow you, but first let me just take care of my dad till he dies. And Jesus said something that would seem so insensitive and so uncaring. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And what he was saying was, your father is already spiritually dead. And I'm giving you an opportunity to follow me. And if you'll follow me, you'll have life. And if you have life, you can give life to your father. Are you hearing me? But if you just choose your dad right now who is dead and you're dead and you won't answer the call of life, then you're just as dead as your father's dead spiritually. So let the dead bury the dead. Yeah, some of you don't like Jesus saying that because you all have this idea of Jesus is this very weak, little, passive, anemic, very sweet shepherd. But let me tell you, he's a king, he's a warrior, and he says, I'd rather you were hot or cold. Come on, somebody. Come on. In other words, there is a heaven, there is a hell. There are angels, there are demons, there is life, there is death. Come on, someone. And Moses, can I tell you this? Because today's signing day, this is what Moses had. Moses had a signing day. Without a shadow of a doubt, when the Bible says that God appeared to Moses in a tree that was on fire, yet the tree was not being consumed by the fire, the Bible says, listen, that was a moment when God called Moses to go to Pharaoh and deliver Egypt out of slavery. And so it was a signing day when Moses answered a call. He tried everything he could to avoid it. Who's ever tried to do everything he can to avoid signing day? When God, how many of you actually can remember a signing day when you gave your life to Jesus and you said, Lord, I'm on your team. I choose you by a show of hands. How many consciously remember? Let me tell you something. God does not have grandchildren. We are the sons and the daughters of God. We do not want hand-me-down revelation. We don't want hand-me-down faith. We don't want secondhand revelations. Amen. This does not have granddaughters and grandsons. We must all have our own encounter with Jesus. Thank God my kids were brought up in a Christian home, because Sharon and I, we sure weren't brought up in a Christian home. Furthest thing from it. Sharon was brought up in a very well-to-do proper home, but had no knowledge of God. I was certainly not brought up in a Christian home. I actually had, religion wrapped around me, and I couldn't stand a bar of it, but I certainly did not know I could know Jesus. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I wanted to make sure my kids had their own encounter with God. And I thank God that actually, I'm pretty sure, at least two or three of our kids made their first decision for Christ in Wave Church as little children. And made a decision. Thank God for our children's ministry. Thank God for our youth ministry. Amen. Because just because they're my kids, they need to have their own encounter with Jesus. Moses had his signing day. Not only did Moses have a signing day, but David had a signing day. He's David. He's out here looking after some sheep, and he's just being a good shepherd and being a faithful shepherd. And then one day this prophet comes and says, hey, you're going to be the future king of Israel. And the Bible says that Samuel poured oil over David. It was David's signing day. The Bible says, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. Yeah. David was a different man from that day. Jeremiah had a signing day. Before I knew you, declared the Lord, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I predestined you to be a prophet to the nations. Think about Elisha. He had a signing day. Elijah threw his coat over Elisha, and one touch with the presence of God, one encounter with the presence of God, and Elisha in the signing day where he would follow after this prophet, because this prophet brought God into his life. And this prophet then said to Elisha, come follow me. And Elijah didn't want him to come. How would you like to serve somebody who didn't even want you around? And Elijah goes, yeah, dude, whatever. And the Bible says he burnt his plowshare and he kissed his mother and father goodbye and he followed after Elijah. Elisha had a signing day. Amen. I can't go back to what I had. As good as it was, I'm ruined for average and mediocre. I want to serve God. I want to make a difference. The disciples had a signing day. Each one of them were invited by Jesus personally to come follow him. And he immediately, they left their nets and followed after him. Listen, Paul had a signing day. Paul was killing Christians. Paul was persecuting the church. And Jesus himself appears to the apostle Paul and knocks him to the ground and blinds him and then opens his eyes spiritually to who God is. Signing day. Everybody here needs to have a signing day. Even Jesus had a signing day. Without a shadow of a doubt, the day that Jesus was baptized at River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like that of a dove, the Bible says from that day, he began to do miracles. It was a signing day. And God audibly spoke from heaven, "That's my boy." Amen. Anybody can remember your signing day? Anybody have a day where you needed to re-sign? Anybody have one of those days? I got both hands up. I got both feet up. I had to make some ongoing decisions. I got a question for you. Whose side are you on? There's a lot of people who want to fit God in their life. And I've heard people say, "Hey, God's a big part of my life." God ought not to be a big part of your life. He ought to be your life. We don't fit God in on a Sunday. We actually are here to serve the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He ought to be our waking thought. He ought to be our sleeping thought. He's an ever-present help. We don't just pull the genie out of the bottle. Can anybody say amen? So here's what I want to say. I'm a fan of the church. We're talking about getting the game. And we're talking to you, Wave Church, about lean in to all that God has for us at Wave Church. And can I tell you something? I'm a fan of the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, and cannot prevail against it." I want to spend my life building the one thing that hell won't prevail against. There's a lot of goodwill. There's a lot of good organizations. There's a lot of good things happening on planet Earth. But there's nothing like hell will not prevail against what Jesus is building. And what he's building is the church. So I want to put my life, my time, my faith, my finances, my family, I want to invest into what he's building, that when heaven and earth passes away, come on, it's the church is the hope of the world. Do you believe it? I'm a fan of the church, and we're all running for the prize. We're not competing with each other. Let me show you some qualities of a fan. Matter of fact, I put this photograph out on Instagram. It was a while ago, and I was amazed how criticized I got. Because in the caption, I went, "These people are more committed than some Christians I know." And people were calling me out. "Why would you be so harsh? Why would you say such a mean, condescending, judgmental thing?" And my attitude to that is, if you respond like that, if you throw a rock in the pig pen, the pig you hit is the one that squeals. If that offends you, be very offended. Hey, and if that didn't offend you, come up to me afterwards and I'll personally offend you. The Bible actually said, yeah, you think I'm kidding. I'm not. Because listen, the Bible says, "Neglect not the gathering together of the saints." Watch this. "As some are in the habit of doing." It is amazing to me that the scripture actually says some people, not you because you're here today, but some people are in the habit of actually not going to church. And I look at this photo, put it back up for a minute. I look at this photo, and this is what I want to say. Here are some qualities. I mean, dear God in heaven, would you do that? Here's the first quality of a fan. Listen to this. They, listen to it. They understand, I love this, that fans will come to the game in any weather. And some people are trying to figure out, will they go to church today? What else is on? Is there a good football game? Is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? Is there a lion on the streets? A lion? The Bible says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the streets. I shall be slain. And he gives himself reason to stay indoors rather than go outside and get engaged in life. I want to tell you, a real fan will come to the game no matter what the weather. I pray that we're a church that aren't just dependent upon whether the surf's up or whether it's a cold day or a windy day or a rainy day. Let's be people, get in the game. Amen, church? Number two, real fans understand the importance of every game. Real fans understand the importance of every game. They understand that every game's important. Matter of fact, real fans believe that if they're not at the game, or if they're not at the game, they got to watch the game. And if they don't watch the game, their team could lose. You think I'm kidding? Talk to a real fan of any sport. And they will say, man, they're too scared to go to the restroom in case something bad happens because they left the room. They understand the power of momentum. I remember one time I was at a game with the New York Mets. It was the World Series. It was the Mets versus the Yankees. It was like God and Satan. It was like, you know, angels and demons. It was like life and death. You with me here? It was like, you know, the Lord's angels versus the Taliban. How many can tell I'm a Mets fan? And I remember this one guy, I actually wanted to employ him to be a worship leader at Wave Church, except he was blind drunk. And he was so funny because in the section I was sitting in, he got the entire section. We're up in the nosebleed section. You had to have an oxygen mask. We were so high up. It was so high up. And I remember he was so motivating. He's going, come on, you don't understand. We're here. They can hear us. And he even got me to cheer in a way that I've never cheered before. He inspired me. He moved me. And I went, I want him leading worship next Sunday. Because let me tell you, he kept saying, they can hear us. And darn it if I didn't believe him. By the way, it was the only game they won. Praise the Lord. They understand the importance of every game. They understand the power of momentum. This game matters for the whole season. Amen. Number three, real fans pay the price. And let me tell you, there's a price to pay if you're a real fan. Like, I've been to the Redskins. I'm a Redskins fan. I'm a Jets fan. I'm Mets and Jets. I was born in New York. Forgive me. Praise the Lord. Well, don't forgive me for being born in New York, but forgive me for being a Mets and a Jets fan. But I've been to the Redskins, and I hate going to the game. I love being at the game. But dear God, it takes 2 hours to get in that parking lot. Has anyone ever been to a Redskins game? It is the most awful parking experience. They say in all of NFL, it's by far one of the worst places to get on and off site. It takes 2 hours to get in there, and it takes sometimes 3 hours to get out. Then there's a 4-hour game, and then the price of the ticket, and then try to buy a hot dog, $10 for a hot dog. But you know, if you're a real fan, you pay the price. And can I tell you, when you're a real fan of the kingdom and you're a real fan of the Lord, amen, we pay the price. We're willing to do whatever it takes. Amen. Listen to this. Real fans know all the statistics. Just recently, Josh Kicker and I and a few of the pastors of Wave Church took a guy to lunch at Captain George's, I think it was, or to dinner. And he said to me, this is the senior pastor of the King of Kings Church, I think the largest church in all of Israel. And he's a friend of mine, and he flew in just to hang out and spend some time with us. And I've spoken in his church. He's a great guy. And he said to me, Steve, I want to be with you. The only thing is, I'm a big Duke fan, and Duke is playing. So can we go somewhere that's a sports bar? I said, I happen to know one. Captain George's has got a great sports bar. Little did I know how big of a fan he was. And we're watching the Duke game, and then all of a sudden I said to Josh Kicker, I said, hey, this guy's a big Duke fan. Didn't Mark Williams, a guy in Wave Church, he's about 8'5". He's 7 foot something. He has to duck his head going out our doors every Sunday. It is so funny watching that guy walk around our building. We did not design a building big enough for this guy, let me tell you. And so I said, didn't Mark Williams just sign for Duke? And this guy, the senior pastor of King of Kings Church, went, Mark Williams, he's in your church. I said, yeah, he just signed for Duke. He signed for Duke. And this guy, who's the pastor of a church in Israel, has been following Mark Williams all through his high school career. You want to be a fan at those statistics. He was going, this is how many rebounds, this is how many baskets, this is how many points on average. He knew everything there was to know about this young high schooler called Mark Williams, and was praying that Mark would sign for Duke. He gets on his phone and rings his son. Guess what? Mark Williams signed for Duke. I'm like, Josh, I hope that was public knowledge. Because we just let out a cat out of the bag. He goes, all right, it's public. Real fans know what's going on in their team. And I want to ask you, come on, how many are fans of what God is doing right here in the house of God? You got to know the scoreboard. Real fans are loud and visible. You can't miss them. It's like this cheerleader at the World Series. He just didn't just was a person watching the game. He demanded everybody else got in the game. Amen. By the way, Peter was a real fan. He was loud and visible. Of course, Jesus pays his taxes. Of course, he never even took the time to ask Jesus the question. He just spoke. Kim Thummel came up to me this morning as we were having worship, and she goes, Pastor, and Kim's a somewhat of a gun expert, and she teaches people how to shoot guns and get their... Don't mess with Kim, I'm just telling you now. She would be the wrong girl to mess with. I tell you, I would hate to be the devil that wrestled her. I'm just saying. And Kim said, Steve, all the time you say this about Peter, because this is Peter. I say, Peter is this guy. He's impetuous. Ready? Fire! Aim. And Kim said to me today, Pastor, I love you, but it's not ready, fire, aim. It's ready, aim, fire. And I said, yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying about Peter. And she never understood it until right now in the 11 a.m. service. She thought she was correcting me, but I had the moment to correct her. But I'm not going to mess with her too much because she's got a lot of guns. Praise the Lord. Peter's the one that said, Lord, I'll die for you, and then denied him. Peter's the one that saw the Lord walking on water. He's loud. He's visible. Lord, if that's you, let me do that. I want in. I like Peter, don't you? Peter's the guy that walked on water. Peter's the guy, listen to this, who actually on the day of Pentecost got up and said, listen, we're not drunk as you think. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's my last point. Listen to this. Real fans support better when they're drunk. Are you saying, Pastor, you want us to come to church drunk? No. Not that kind of drunk, but maybe a different kind of drunk. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage everybody here to get everything from God he has for you. This fan in the World Series game, when a foul ball came and he was right behind me, he spilled beer all over me. I was getting so frustrated. I reeked of beer. I was soaking wet with beer. And I was getting a bite. By the end of the game, I just had enough. I mean, I was covered in beer because every time something good happened, he jumps to his feet with the beer in his hands. And that beer went all down my back, was in my hair. And I finally said, dude, just put your beer down before you stand up. Look at me. I'm soaking wet. You'd be so proud of your pastor because that was not the old Steve Kelly. It would be a totally different conversation. And let's just say that wouldn't continue. And finally, this foul ball comes. And with a beer in one hand, I got it. And I'm looking at him going, I hope he's got it. I thought, wouldn't it be funny if it landed in his cup and the beer would just spill all over me again? But no, the ball came right down to his hand, his bare hand. And the ball literally went through his fingers and this middle finger literally just went back like that and never came back. And I'm looking at his finger like that. I said, I'm not giving you the finger, I promise you. I wouldn't do that. But it's back here. And I looked at him and I looked at his finger and he went, it's a good thing I'm drunk. Because that's going to hurt like crap in the morning. I couldn't believe it. Real fans are better when they're drunk. Can I just encourage you? Life is better when you have the Holy Spirit. And I want to close with this thought. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart is also. Maybe this morning we can measure an indication or a measurement of what kind of a fan we are is by where our treasure is, because the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Maybe one of the ways that would indicate how much of a fan we are of the church and all that God is and all that God means to us could be revealed in what we give. Would you agree with that? Amen. It's a measurement, and I want to encourage you today, it's signing day. Get in the game. And if you say you got a heart for the house of God, then I don't believe there's evidence of what your heart is, because your treasure will be where your heart is. Come on, do you receive that word? So I got a video for you. And we got a lot to do here at Wave Church. Let me just say it. We got a lot to do. And sometimes people don't understand the price we pay. Sometimes even family. I remember one time I took Sharon out to dinner. I'll never forget this. It was in Sydney. And my mother, you got to know my mother, she didn't have 2 cents to her name. They did everything they can to just scrape together to be able to afford, by the time they retired, to be able to pay cash for their house. And it was hard for them. My dad was a gambler and had lost all of their money to gambling and addictions. And so my mother, she'd give the shirt off her back, but she didn't have 2 cents to her name. I used to come home before I was a Christian, and I would come home with a bunch of my friends, like 2, 3 in the morning, and we'd just be blind drunk. My mother would get out of bed, this is my mum, and she would cook us all food and just be glad we're all home safe. And I couldn't believe the generosity of my mother. But I remember when I took Sharon out to the most expensive restaurant in Sydney at the time. Because no matter where your treasure is, your heart will be also. My heart was for Sharon. And I didn't do this all the time, but I took her out to this really nice restaurant. My mother said to me, "Where'd you go to dinner tonight?" And Sharon's there. And my mother's as subtle as a sledgehammer. And I said, "Oh, Mom, it's, you know, we just went somewhere nice." "No, no, where'd you go?" That's my mother. She's got to know. So, "Oh, Mom, we went to Sydney Tower." There's a big tower in Sydney like the Space Needle in Seattle. It's a revolving restaurant, overlooks the skyline of Sydney. It's beautiful. I was looking for this romantic moment with Sharon to let her know how much she meant to me. And I remember she said to me, "How much money did that meal cost?" And I said, "Well, Mom, I love you, but that's not your problem. That's my decision." And she goes, "No, no, I bet it cost a lot of money." And Sharon's standing right there. How embarrassing for Sharon. And I'm going, "Mom, stop." And she's going, "What a waste of money that is." And I understand what she was saying in terms of where she was at, but it was a measure of just how much I valued this girl. Are you hearing me? And sometimes your own family don't understand the decisions you make. And sometimes they struggle with it. I remember when I became a Christian, my brother pulled me aside, my oldest brother. He wouldn't know if I was dead or alive. He wouldn't. And he didn't even care. Sometimes I'd be missing for a week. I would just go off. I'd just drive in my car, drive down the coast and sleep on a beach for a week. And they wouldn't know if I was dead or alive. And I'd come back a week later. And most of the time, they didn't even notice I was gone for the week. Now, all of a sudden, I've given my life to Jesus. And I'm going to church. And I'm out in youth group and in Bible study. And my oldest brother's going to have this older brother moment with me. And he says to me, "Steve, you got no time for the family anymore. You're always going to church all the time." And I looked at him, I said, "Dennis, you wouldn't know if I was dead or alive, and I'd be gone for nights on end. You never worried whether I was where I was and if I was okay. But now all of a sudden I'm going to church and you're trying to pull me up. No one ever complained of all the time I spent sinning. But now I'm a Christian serving the Lord and you don't like what I'm doing? Well, here's the good news. As a result of the decision for me to follow after God, my mother, my father, my 2 brothers, my 2 sisters are all serving the Lord. My mom and dad are in heaven today. Come on, somebody. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I want to make sure my treasure is my heart. I understand that my treasure will only go to where my heart is. Have a look at this video. It's a young man who had signing day and his mother sitting right next to him, and listen to what he says about what he did. I want you to catch it. He said, "Hey, listen, I can't go with my mom. I got to go with what I felt God led me to." Sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes the first banana to leave the bunch is the first one to get skinned. And you know what? He made a decision based on what he felt the Lord called him to do. Not everybody understands that. Not everybody understands it. Now, Josh Kicker, I know you're probably the happiest man alive because you're a Gators fan. And clearly the mother's well was Alabama. But he followed what he felt like the Lord called him to do. Are you hearing me? And I want to say to you, come on, get in the game. And I want to give you an invitation right now and everybody at Seaboard to get in the game. To actually, it's signing day. David had a signing day. Jesus had a signing day. The Apostle Paul had a signing day. I believe it's signing day for some people here this morning. I don't know who you are. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're in high school. I don't know who you are. I don't know what brought you here this morning. But I do believe today God is speaking to you about get in the game. Give your life to Jesus. And can I say this? When I say get in the game, I'm very aware that Christianity is not a game in one sense. But yet the Bible does say we run in such a way as to win. And can I tell you this? Look at me. God created you to be a winner. But the way in which winning happens is by knowing your Creator, knowing the one who created you. You were born a winner. I love saying this. Of the 40 million sperm that race for the egg, you won. God predestined you. You are not a mistake. God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. You made it to the egg first. You broke through. God said, you're predestined. I knew you before you were born in your mother's womb. I was there and I was knitting and I was fashioning. Life will never make sense until you know the one and come in harmony and in agreement with the one who created you and put you on planet Earth. And you can spend your life trying to fill it with anything and everything. But when you know your Creator, you find out why you were born. The Bible says in Timothy, we are saved and we are called. And there's a point where you make a decision to give your life to Jesus. And who's going to believe with me? People are going to make a decision today, right here, right now, Seaboard Road. I know the campus down there. I think Mark Hopkins or Joe, someone's coming right now to talk to you. But I want to talk to everybody here and everybody watching online. I want to pray for you today. If you say, Steve, today, it's my signing day. I need to give my life to Jesus. I don't want to be a grandson or a granddaughter. I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter. I don't want to just do things because my parents did it. I want to know God for myself. Amen, church? I want to know, I want to have that encounter with Jesus for myself. I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. In a moment, we'll close our eyes, we'll bow our heads. When we do that, if you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to get right with God. Maybe this morning, look at me. Maybe this morning you need to get right with God. You need to say, Steve, I need to get my life right with God. I once was in the game, but something happened where I'm no longer in the game. And I want to get back in the game. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to God. Church, you going to believe with me? Show of hands. Who's going to believe with me? Come on. Come on. Let the faith level rise. Not just a show of hands, but lift your spirit. Lift your faith. I want everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. And friend, if that is you, and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want to get right with God. Steve, pray for me. I want to sign in. I want to get right with God. Lift your hand right now all over the building. That's it. God bless you. That's it. God bless you. That's it. God bless you. Who else? God bless you right there. Come on. Who else? God bless you right there. God bless you up there. I see those hands. Come on up there in the balcony in the higher section way up there. I see your hands behind the camera. Who else this morning would just lift your hand over here? There's a hand there. There's a hand there. Come on. I'm looking for you this morning in Jesus' name. Anyone else would lift your hand and say, Steve, you are talking to me. Hands are being raised all over the building. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single person, everybody online? And let's say this prayer. Now, I got to be honest, in the 9 o'clock service, they were a little quiet on the prayer. So I'm going to ask you to make up for their quietness. Can we all pray this prayer out loud? Come on. It's not hot. Jesus said, I'd rather you're hot or cold. But don't be like, oh, whatever. Can we all pray this prayer together? Come on, say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart. I confess in my mouth. I am now a Christian in Jesus' name. The church, I know we've clapped. But this ought to be the highest praise. This ought to be the best praise. This ought to be the moment when we understand what really took place here. People made a decision out of darkness into life. Come on. Out of the grip of the enemy into the hand of the Lord. Come on. There's a miracle taking place. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.